Today is the happiest day of the church calendar for us. While we all love Christmas Eve, it's my personal favorite worship service. Today is the day when we celebrate the full fulfillment of God's promises He first gave the people of Israel during the Exodus. Indeed, these promises are the message that we read throughout all of the Bible. God has not only created us, but has saved and redeemed us from the mess we have made of ourselves and the rest of creation. He has brought us out from the captivity that we have been mired in. He is our God, and we are His people, and that is the cause of our joy beyond all measure. Today's gospel text has us on the road to Emmaus, as a pair of disciples are walking along, in wonder at what they have seen and heard in Jerusalem after the despair of Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. Not surprisingly, their human mind sense can't fully grasp what has happened in this meeting. The risen Jesus falls in with them and talks with them along the way and at supper. He opens their hearts and minds to what the week has meant. This is a very new world that they are in. The old religion, and note that religion is very different from faith, has been overwhelmed by the direct act of God, and life can never be the same. The Isaiah text for today is equally powerful. The text for today follows a chapter that details how bad it has been for the people as they lived in their sins and have suffered the consequences of their actions. The message of today's text is not one of disaster, but one of restoration and joy. So today's theme is one of joy. God has redeemed us. He's present with us. The disciples have witnessed this monumental event, the seeming end of a promising ministry reversed as not the ministry they thought they were participating in, but one which restored mankind to the God of its salvation. You have to imagine what those first witnesses were filled with. Endless joy and equally endless questions. As they pondered, or as we would say today, processed, the experiences and news, life cannot be the same ever again. And we all shake our heads yes, even with that hyperbole. But what does it mean to us, just as we can see in Scripture what it meant to those who witnessed this watershed event of sacrifice and resurrection? Paul's words today are a start. And I'll paraphrase this. Get over yourselves. Witness to Christ in your lives. Don't keep living with all those sinful habits, but rather change your lives to live in the promise and fulfillment of Christ. Now today we would say that this was a tectonic shift in creation, God Emmanuel among us and atoning for us forever. Cleopas and his fellow traveler friend immediately grasped that this is what had happened. Think about it. They're on the way home from Jerusalem, a city full of Roman soldiers, Sadducee collaborators, and corrupt temple officials, and horrific memories of the last few days. Yet the news and knowledge that Jesus the Christ was still among them, risen from the tomb, caused them to turn around and return to what we might call their lion's den. They had news that couldn't wait, and that was as critical to everyone else as if they had discovered the cure for some terrible physical disease and were then compelled to share it. The world would never be the same, simply because the cup of wrath had been drunk, and we were free to drink from the alternative, the cup of redemption. We must take note of what Jesus tells the assembled disciples, that they are witnesses of the redemption of mankind and the example of living kingdom lives, and will be given power from God directly. I don't think he appeared to make them feel better. I don't think he appeared to relieve their distress. I think his appearance was to challenge them. And that, I think, a paraphrase of his words might be, "You have been appointed as witnesses of the power of God and his redemption of mankind. I'm giving you my Father's promise, and he will bring to you his power and authority to witness to all these things." Now, Paul echoes this as he tells the Corinthian congregation to stop living as they always have, caught up in themselves. He admonished them to stop boasting themselves, to stop living maliciously with evil, and instead to live in the truth that Christ has provided. So what are our aspirations? For sure, we have very tangible aspirations, each one of us, possibly work-related, possibly family-related, possibly something else you are passionate about. What we celebrate today, our Passover, may give us those things as byproducts, but we are challenged by the texts themselves to live beyond them, to aspire to follow Christ in our living each day of our lives. Don't be a gossip, don't shade the truth, don't try to be first in line for everything, and so much else that we should do as we aspire to be God's people and to follow the example of His Christ. We with Cleopas and all those early disciples in their world have been given the greatest gift of all, reconciliation with our Creator. We have been given the template for kingdom living. It's just as Jesus had told Nicodemus, that we need to be reborn in that very spirit of creation, and that Christ has given us the way to do this. It's not a checklist, as Nicodemus may have hoped. It's not a one-and-done event. It's to embrace the gift of redemption and seize all that it empowers in us, to live with the knowledge that God is here today and will be here tomorrow as well, and that he calls us to witness of him. To be sure, God is very much in charge. He's sovereign, but he has called us to be his witnesses. The gift of this day, our atonement and reconciliation, is the greatest news and reality that the world has known. Cleopas and his friend were compelled to return to Jerusalem and share the news. Paul was compelled to travel throughout the Eastern Roman world to share the good news. The directive through Micah to live with compassion, to seek to live your own life justly, and to walk humbly with God is so alien to so many that it's not even aspirational to many. What are we doing with this greatest of gifts we have been given? Rejoice. Embrace kingdom living. Witness in your life what God has done. And this may seem a tall order in this dysfunctional world we live in, but we can do this in God's grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone, through Scripture alone, while we give all glory to God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.